Chapter 11. Sini, leaning against the cover of her origami textbook, carefully aligned the edges of her full-point fold before setting the crease with her thumbnail. She lifted the newly formed triangle and opened it up, then pressed it down into a square fold. It was the fourth crane-style bird she had folded, for she knew from experience one could never have too many paper birds. A knock sounded at her bedroom door. Sini glanced under the bed, ensuring her secrets were well concealed, before saying, "Come in!" Emery opened the door and took two steps into her room, a threshold he had only begun crossing 1 month ago. He eyed the partially formed bird in Sini's hands, the birds beside her, the links of a shield chain, and likely the folded stars, bats, and ripple spell scattered over the floor. Sini hadn't bothered to hide those. She figured it would look less suspicious with everything out in the open.
"You've been busy,"
he commented, scratching the back of his head.
"And here I thought I wasn't giving you enough free time."
Sini flipped her paper over and formed another square fold. "I do plan to test for my magicianship at 2 years," she said. "I need to practice if I'm to pass." Emery smiled without teeth, but his eyes showed something else. Nostalgia, or something similar. Dolefulness, maybe?
"So ready to leave?" he asked.
Sini paused in her folding. "It's not like that."
"I know,"
he said, and the look disappeared, his eyes masking whatever shadows played about that light in his head. Sini hated it when he did that. He re-scanned the room, perhaps frowning inwardly at the lack of organization in Sini's work.
"Do keep in touch, after the magicianship,"
he said.
"I'd be surprised if it took you more than 2 years."
Sini kept her focus on her bird. "Are you saying that because it's what you want, or because it's the polite thing to say?" she wondered. Emery stepped back into the living room, closing Sini's door with a delicate touch. Sini formed two chicken folds before retrieving her scissors and her paper doll, stolen back from the cottage, from under her bed. She needed to make every possible preparation before facing Grath tomorrow. She had nearly finished. Two more snips and the silhouette would be free. If Sini cut it out correctly, the spell would work. If not, she'd have to start over from scratch, but she didn't have time to do that before her 1:30 appointment tomorrow. Chewing on her lower lip, Sini carefully cut the line at the doll's right hip. It fell away from its bordering paper. Sini grasped the doll by the shoulders and stood, taking it to the bedroom closet, away from direct line of sight of the door, as the bedroom didn't have a lock. She straightened it as best she could, the two-dimensional head flopping, and said, "Stand." To her relief and exuberance, the paper cutout stiffened and stood on its own accord, feeling almost like thin cardboard. She released its shoulders. "Now for the real test." Copying Emery's demonstration of the spell, she stood 2 feet away from the doll, arranged herself to match the silhouette, and said, "Copy." Wispy color, similar to that of a story illusion, began to form on the doll. Orange glazed the head, the shirt turned gray, the skirt navy. The colors molded and darkened until a perfect, flat replica of Sini stood across from her. It bore the same hopeful expression Sini must have been wearing when she gave the copy command. Even the backside of the doll matched Sini's backside. From straight on, it looked like a real person. From any other view, it was obviously a paper doll. Sini stepped back and sat on her bed, studying her work. A decent illusion, for paper, though the doll couldn't speak, and its interactions with its environment would be incredibly limited. It had no joints, after all, and no brain. A gaffer could create a much better illusion, if a less opaque one. Or a polymaker. Polymakers always made such complex things out of plastic. She stared at the doll, her exuberance fading. She thought of Lyra. Emery Thane's heart bore dozens of corners and alleyways that she hadn't seen during her short stay there. For instance, she knew about none of Emery's previous love interests besides Lyra, whom he had married. Staring at the paper doll, Cianne couldn't help but notice the physical differences between herself and Lyra. Thanks to her keen memory, Cianne could picture Lyra down to the stitches in her clothing. She pushed away thoughts of the black-clad Exisioner who had stolen Emery's heart in more ways than one, and instead pulled up the image of the woman with whom Emery had fallen in love, the Lyra from the flowery hill at sunset, and from the quaint wedding where, for the briefest instant, Cianne had stood in her place. Though Cianne hated to admit it, Lyra was one of the most stunning women she had ever laid eyes on, far more stunning than what Cianne saw in the mirror, or, in this case, in her paper doll. Lyra had dark, curling hair, long, dark lashes, and dark eyes. Cianne had oddly orange hair, kinked with a few awkward waves, blonde eyelashes and eyebrows, and pale eyes. Lyra was built like one of those girls Cianne saw on glamour photographs outside risque theaters. Cianne had a much narrower frame, all sharper angles and straight lines. She was short, too, the top of her head measuring about equal with Emery's Adam's apple. With the right shoes, Lyra could have looked him in the eye. Cianne didn't know much about what Lyra had been like before becoming an Exisioner, only that she had been a nurse and far more pleasant. But she knew she and Emery's ex-wife were very, very different people. So, how could she possibly believe that a man like Emery would fall for a simple girl like her? Cianne fell back onto the bed and stared up at the beige ceiling. She thought again of the fortuity box she'd folded the day Emery awoke from his excision-induced slumber. Its vision had been as crisp as anything she'd seen in Emery's heart, yet the future was always changing. Any psychic at the county fair knew as much. Would Emery's future include her at all, if she were to read it now? She didn't think she wanted to know, assuming the paper magician cared enough to humor her a second time. Cianne pushed Lyra out of her mind and thought instead of all the small moments that had fueled her hope, the signs that Emery might harbor some affection for her, too. And magician Avioski had obviously sensed something between them if she had gone so far as to set up another apprenticeship for Cianne. It couldn't all be in Cianne's head. "You're my apprentice. I don't think I need to remind you of that." Cianne deflated. Or perhaps what magician Avioski saw truly was entirely one-sided. No wonder she hadn't spoken to Emery first. Magician Thane, that is. Shutting her eyes, Cianne let her mind drift until it settled on a memory 6 weeks after her trip into the paper magician's heart, an especially hot Wednesday afternoon. It was the first moment she had thought, maybe this will work. Maybe I'm someone worth falling for. She had taken it upon herself to start a small vegetable garden in the narrow backyard of the cottage, where the soil wasn't covered in paper plants. She crouched over the small lot she had prepared, dark topsoil spread out before her and staining her gloves, the sun casting patterns over her skirt as it shined through the wicker brim of her hat. She picked herself off the ground after planting the last seeds, radishes, and bent backward so that her sore back cracked in four places. Emery appeared beside her.
"Congratulations, Cianne. You've successfully made a very large stretch of dirt."
"You'll thank me in a month or so," she countered, pulling off her gloves. "And next year you'll be begging me to make it even bigger." Emery smiled, then reached forward and ran his thumb over Cianne's cheek, brushing off some of the dirt there. Cianne, of course, had humiliated herself by flushing redder than the tomatoes that would soon be growing at her feet. But he hadn't moved his hand, not right away. He hesitated, looking at her, those beautiful emerald eyes burning holes through her skin.
"What?"
Cianne stuttered. He smiled and dropped his hand.
"Oh, nothing. I was just thinking about how much I like your name."
Cianne opened her eyes, bringing herself back to the present. She sat up, her gaze meeting the empty eyes of her paper doll. "Cease," she said, and the paper collapsed to the floor, losing its color in the process. Then Cianese slid off the mattress and knelt on the floor, reaching under her bed. She hadn't been able to take much from the cottage. She would have to explain all of it if Emery ever discovered her cash. But her fingers wrapped around a corded paper stem, and she pulled out one of the red roses Emery had crafted for her birthday, its red paper petals still perfectly crisp. She fingered the flower's lifelike bud. "I can wait 2 years," she thought, turning the rose in her hand. "I can wait 2 years for him, longer if need be. If he would ever love me, I'd wait my entire life." But even 2 years felt like an eternity. What if Emery found someone else? Cianese could only pray they returned to the cottage soon so that the paper magician could go back to being a recluse and not meet anyone new. She sighed and returned the rose to its hiding place. How much time she had wasted moping around like a lovesick schoolgirl. She gathered her paper doll and stashed it away, then returned to her work. Setting the half-formed paper bird aside, she began folding a series of small burst spells. She could not spend more time mooning over Emery. He could wait. He had to wait. For now, Cianese had to prepare. It was up to her to control the excisioners. It was up to her to protect him and herself. She stayed up late, folding her spells and carefully arranging them in her bag, the same bag she had armed herself with when she faced Lyra on Foulness Island. Before she went to bed, she loaded her Tatham percussion lock pistol and added its weight to her bounty of spells. One didn't always need magic to win a fight.